Good morning, everybody. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to continue our study through this series we're in. And I was struggling with even how to continue to do the recap. We're doing the series, What the Bible Says About Fill in the Blank. And then we did What the Bible Says About Biblical Manhood. Then we did What the Bible Says About Biblical Womanhood. Then we did What the Bible Says About Marriage. And today we're looking at What the Bible Says About Children. And then in the weeks to come, we're going to look at What the Bible Says About Fatherhood and Motherhood and even parenting in terms of disciplining your children. I don't know what to call this. Is this a series of What the Bible Says About Fill in the Blank? Are these individual things like manhood, womanhood, marriage, children, parenting? I don't know what to call these. Or maybe, Chandler, when we put this together kind of as a package when we're done, maybe we could just encapsulate all that we've looked at from January to now under the umbrella of What the Bible Says About the Family. I think that fits. I hope y'all are learning a lot about this. Men, don't forget what the Bible says about what it means to be a biblical man. Ladies, don't forget what the Bible says about what it means to be a biblical woman. Couples, listen to me. Don't forget what the Bible says about marriage. And today we're going to look at what the Bible says about parenting. Now, the next few messages are going to build on the foundation that we lay today. We're going to look at Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. And I'll go ahead and give you a heads up. It's about the fifth commandment. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 is about the fifth commandment. Y'all listen to me. What we're going to look at today is the fifth commandment. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. We're going to look at the fifth commandment. And everything I say in the coming weeks about fatherhood, motherhood, and even how to discipline your children, everything else I say is going to be built on the fifth commandment. And its goal, and everything you do as a father, everything you do as a mother, everything you do in discipline, the goal of all of that is to keep the fifth commandment. Y'all, this is so important today. This is foundational for the family. And so look with me at Ephesians 6. And we'll just look at verses 1 through 3. And let's not gloss over this. This is so important. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. And then he quotes the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. What do we do with these three verses? Well, as I was thinking about how to articulate my heart to you this morning, I want to show you three things. I want you to see three things from this passage. It's very important. Three things. The first thing is this. Children and teens, obey your parents. So I'm talking to our children and our teenagers this morning. I want y'all to listen to me. Now, mom and daddies, you need to listen to this as well because this is how I want you to talk to your children. But, and even grandparents, listen, you may be in the position of teaching your children this. So everybody listen. The first thing I want you to see is children, teenagers, listen to me. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. And so to our children in here this morning, to our teenagers in here this morning, I want you to look at a few words from these three verses. The first one is children. So if you're here, you're somebody's child, right? So there's a sense in which, and you'll see as we go on, everybody in this room needs to have their ears on. But in particular, our children and our teenagers. Look at this word, the second word, obey. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Now, is that a given when you think about, especially when you think about teenagers, is that a given? Hey, teenagers, obey your mom and daddy. Every teenager says what? Amen. I got it. Absolutely. I say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I don't ever huff. I don't ever puff. I don't ever roll my eyes. Ain't that right, teenagers? Y'all are looking around. Some of y'all are glad your parents aren't in here this morning. What's it mean to obey your parents? Teenagers, listen to me. You can look the word up. It means this. When you compare it, excuse me for backing up a little bit, but last week we talked about wives submitting to their husbands and the importance of submitting to authority. You need to understand something. This word obey is stronger than the word submit. Submit involves like, hey, there's some conversation, but at the end of the day, husband, you're the head of the house. We're going to follow your lead. That's what wives do. But children, obey. You just obey. You're not mom. You're the child. You just obey. So it's a stronger expression than wives submitting or being subject to their husbands. One commentary said this. Obedience, this word, is more unreasoning. You're not involved in the negotiation. You're not involved in the conversation. It's more unreasoning and implicit. Submission is the willing subjection of an inferior in a point of order to one who has the right or command. And some of y'all are, Alan, that got too wordy. Teenagers, I know y'all are like, don't read a definition to me. So let me put it in headland terms for you. It means not arguing with your mom and daddy. Obey them. It means not negotiating with your mom and dad. Obey them. It means not discussing with them the timing of their request. It means obey them. It means obey. So teenagers and children, listen to me. Just do what your parents tell you to do. Obey them. And do it with the right attitude. Do it with a smile on your face. Say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Children, obey your parents. How many of y'all, either as parents or your parents have done this, have said, hey, do this? And the kid's like, why? And the parent says, because I said so. Listen to me. That's actually a fair biblical statement. I think we need to come back to that. I think that's a fair biblical statement. Because I said so. At the end of the day, why? Because God has designed authority structures in our relationships. And these authority structures start in the home. The first authority you encounter is your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. And they are in a position of authority. And when they tell you to do something, you say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Why? Because they said so. And by God's design, they are in charge. You ain't. Children are not in charge of the house. Because I said so. That is a fair and biblical statement. And so, teenagers, listen to me. I want you to accept that. It is enough that they told you to do whatever it is. That is enough. And you should say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. But now, parents, listen to me. It is a fair statement to say because I said so, but it is wise to help them understand the rationale. We don't just want yes men. We don't want kids that just conform to everything they're told. We also want kids who know how to think. We also want kids who understand good wisdom, identifying truth from error, right from wrong, danger from safety. We want our kids to learn how to think. And so it's not beyond you to explain yourself to your child. You're not asking them to obey. They need to obey because you said so. But parents, we also need to help them understand why we have said so. Because we want to teach them how to think. We don't want them to be children the rest of their lives. In fact, this is why some kids rebel as they get older. Because all they ever heard is, because I said so, because I said so, because I said so. And they don't understand the wisdom of God's good design. Of mom and dad being the authority in the home. So we need to understand, teenagers, listen to me. When God says here, when Paul writes here, children, obey your parents. Listen to me. You need to obey them. But this does not imply blind obedience. It doesn't require blind obedience. You want to think. You need to think. You need to honor their authority, but you need to think. And parents, sometimes we fail because we're not teaching them how to think. But understand this. This is not requiring blind obedience. And here's why this is important. Do you know that it is possible to obey without honoring? And it is also possible to honor without obeying? I want you to think about this. There's more than just blind obedience going on here. This is a matter of the heart. God cares about the heart. It's possible to obey without honoring. Here's what that looks like. We can do what we are told, obey, but with the wrong heart. And that is not pleasing to the Lord. You understand that? You can obey, but do it with an attitude. Huffing, puffing, grumbling under your breath. Fussing the whole way. That's obeying without honoring. You can do what you're told, but with the wrong heart. That is not pleasing to the Lord. But y'all, you can also honor without obeying. Remember, this is not blind obedience. Listen to this. This is very important, teenagers. When any authority, mom or dad, or any authority, when any authority leads you to sin or dishonor God, your answer is no. Not yes, sir. Not yes, ma'am. It's no. You can honor them, you can honor God without obeying. If you're led to sin or dishonor God, you say no. And you'll disobey with a heavy heart, not a diva attitude, but with a heavy heart. The disposition of your heart being one that says, Mom, Dad, I want to honor you. I want to honor you. I want to please the Lord. I want to honor you. But I'm not willing to sin against God. My motive, as we're going to see, my motive for honoring God is God. And if you're leading me to sin against him, I will not. So you can have the disposition of your heart that says, Mom, Dad, I want to honor you. But I will not sin against my God. I won't do that. You can obey without honoring, and you can honor without obeying. And so this is not blind obedience. This is all to be done. Look at the next word, in the Lord. Children, obey your parents. What's it say? In the Lord. This is not blind obedience. This is worship. This is all about God. The way you interact with your parents is a reflection of how you feel about God and what he's told us to do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So teenagers, when we look at this one, this phrase, in the Lord, this is what Paul is saying. He is our motive. God is our motive. This is about God first. This is about me as a young adult saying, how do I interact with my God? My God has said, obey your parents. So Lord, I love you. So I will obey your command. I will obey my parents. I'll do this for you. God, you are my motive. You can write this down. Colossians 3:20. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything. Does that sound familiar? But I love how Paul words it in Colossians 3. He says, for this pleases the Lord. You want to make God proud? Do you love the Lord? Teenagers, do you want to be pleasing to your God? Then obey your parents. That pleases him. That pleases God. A lot of times teenagers get on fire for God, and they get a great study Bible. They get a great journal. They want to take notes. They get up. They do their devotional. They do their quiet time. And they're really being disciplined. They're trying to do Bible study. They're trying to do prayer. They're trying to serve. They're trying to be involved in church. They're really all in for the Lord in the most legit ways. And for those of y'all who are doing that, I want you to know I'm very proud of you. But I want to show you something to kind of add to your spiritual disciplines. Obey your parents. I want you to recognize the way you interact with mom and dad is important as you try to, God, I want to love you. I want to show my love for you. Look, I'm reading my Bible. Look, Lord, I'm praying and I'm talking to you. Look, Lord, I'm trying to be faithful at school. I'm trying to witness to my friends. Good, great, great. Keep growing. Keep doing it. But add this to your list. God says, obey your parents. God, look, I'm doing this for you. You're worthy. My mom's difficult. You're worthy. My dad's difficult. You're worthy. Lord, I will honor and obey them because it pleases you. And Lord, I want to please you. Isn't that sweet? Teenagers, do you want to please God? Obey your parents. Our honoring and obeying authority, any authority, is aimed at our desire to honor God. And here's why this is important. Because honoring God is our goal, even when authority in our lives lacks character, we can still obey our God. It can be a deadbeat dad. It can be an alcoholic father. It can be an abusive father. It can be an adulterous mother. Even when the authority lacks character, we can still obey this command. Look at it. In the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's good. It's good. It's common sense, but it's also what God has revealed to us. You need to understand, honor is not contingent upon the worthiness of the one in authority. It's based on the position that God's given him. And if you're in a challenging situation, I want you to understand these situations are opportunities for personal sanctification. Now, adults, listen, you may be saying, well, you know, I don't live at home with my mom and dad anymore, but my authority at work, man, it's tough. Listen, honor is not contingent upon the worthiness of the one in authority. It's based on the position that God has given them. This is an act of worship. God, I will respect those that you have placed in authority over me, starting with my mom and dad and extending to every other source of authority you've put in my life. This pleases the Lord. This means at times you may have to honor an incompetent authority. Y'all ever been there? You will be more and more. This means at times you're going to have to honor an incompetent authority as long as that authority is not leading you into sin. And that's an act of worship and honoring the Lord. And a good question, a good godly question you can ask is this: how do I honor God in this miserable situation? Obey those who are in authority over you. That's a good question to wrestle with. How do I honor God in this situation? Well, we keep using the word honor. Look at it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look at the next word, verse 2. He's quoting the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. So teenagers, keep listening to this. Obey them. Honor them. Obey them. Honor them. Remember, you can obey without honoring. You can honor without obeying. But listen, you obey and honor them. What does it mean to honor your parents and even honor the Lord? What does it mean to honor? It means to esteem. It means to attribute high status to. It refers to respect and reverence. And it implies like action that follows through to show that honor. And so you can say, obey your parents, honor your parents. Listen, respect your parents. Again, you may say, but my parents aren't worth respecting. Yes, they are. God gave them to you. That's your mama. That's your daddy. Respect them. Respect them. You don't have another mama. You don't have another daddy. Those are the ones God gave you. Honor him by honoring them. Literally, the word honor means heavy or weighty. That means that man and that woman carry weight in my life. To honor God means his opinion carries weight in my life. You know, and so we care what God thinks, but you also ought to care what your mom thinks. You ought to care what your dad thinks. Their opinion matters. It carries weight. How they're feeling matters. How I interact with them matters. It carries weight in my life. I want to honor them. I want to show them respect and reverence. I want to value them. I want to prize them. I want to submit to my parents. Now, teenagers, what does it mean practically for you to honor your parents? Listen to me closely. It means you don't talk to your mom like she's one of your siblings. You don't talk to your dad like he's one of your friends and some common guy on the street. You talk to them as if they are your parents. How many of y'all have ever made that mistake? You got a little too comfortable with mom or dad? You start talking to them like they're a peer. And she is. Maybe she's the safest person in the world. And you just get a little too comfortable with that safety. And she cuts them eyes at you and says. Or maybe she don't. And dad looks up and says, what'd you just say? Right? How many of y'all have experienced that? Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. Love them. Enjoy them. Find that safety with them. But listen, remember, honor them. That's your mama. That's your daddy. Hold them in high regard. This is pleasing to the Lord. I want y'all to care about that. Teenagers, I want you to care about this. This is pleasing to the Lord when you respect them on this level, when they carry that kind of weight in your life. Keep reading. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And it says, this is the first commandment with a promise. There's a promise with this commandment. If you honor them, if you obey them, if you show them this kind of respect, it comes with a promise. It's the first one with a promise. It'll go well with you. Listen, it's gonna work out for you if you'll just honor and obey your mom and dad. It's gonna go better if you will listen to them than it will if you don't. It's gonna go better. That it may go well with you and you live long in the land. Now, it's not a guarantee that you're gonna live into old age, but you probably live longer if you don't talk back to your mama. I remember I told my mama as a teenager one time, I was just Mr. Big Britches and I didn't have to listen to her anymore. My voice was changing and I had some chin hair. And the woman gonna tell me what to do. Well, she said something to me and I said, why? And I don't know why I did this. Teenagers get something I call the stupid. I don't know what happens. They can be a good kid and you turn to a teenager and your brain comes unplugged and one day somebody plugs it back in and you're back. Well, sometimes the reconnect never happens. But for me, the disconnect, I don't know what I was thinking, but I looked at my sweet, godly, kind, gentle mother and I said, why don't you shut up? And before I could get the on, she slapped me across the face. I didn't know my mama could do that. Now, she spanked us, like always in bounds, nowhere near any kind of abuse, but she had me. Sometimes people get the jump on you and you're like, they got me. I know, they beat me. I didn't see it coming. Just pow. That's the worst pain I think I've had my eyes swollen shut, but I think that's the worst pain I've ever had. So look at it. It will go well with you. You will live long. It'll go better if you don't tell your mama to shut up. But I really want us to lean in. And teenagers, please, I want to talk to you like grown-ups. Hear the wisdom in this, okay? This promise that it may go well with you, that you live long in the land, get this. It's not a guarantee. All right, it's not a guarantee. But this is a general principle that describes the natural result of rightly ordered relationships. If you are a person who has rightly ordered relationships, things are going to go better for you than if you're a person who is out of control, biting and chewing and cussing and fussing and yelling and hollering with everybody in your life, right? It's going to go well for you. And you say, well, how do I just get along? All right, I just need to learn to get along with people. How do I just get along with people? Start with your mom and daddy and honor them and walk it out from there. And as a general principle, it will go well with you. You live long in the land because that's where you learn your relationships with others. You need to understand this, teenagers. Please get this. Because the stupid is real. Please get this. Rebellion against authority is rarely limited to one area. You may think, well, you don't know my mama. I'll obey everybody else. I'll handle authority, but she's not worthy. I'm telling you, if you won't honor your mama, if you won't honor your daddy, that's going to show up in other places too. It rarely is limited to one area. And get this, it's not just the breaking of some rule. Sin and rebellion always lead to destruction. Always. It always ends in ruin. Every time. Every time. And your mom and dad may not know what they're talking about, but I promise you it's going to go better for you if you'll just follow their lead for now. That spirit of rebellion and saying, you know, right now I don't have to do what God said, will always end in destruction. Just do what God said and let him take care of the rest. Don't start thinking for yourself like Eve did. Well, what do I think? That's where we make a mess of things. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Do this in the Lord. Because it is right, it is commanded, and it brings blessing. You got that, teenagers? Honor your parents. The second thing I want to show you is for parents. Parents, teach and require this of your children. And in the world of gentle parenting, and I'm going to get into that more and more each week. And we get to the last one, I hope to tear gentle parenting up, throw it away, and get you refocused on what God's word has said for us. But you need to hear this foundational thing that the fifth commandment's teaching us is, parents, you are responsible to teach and require this of your children. As one in authority, you're responsible for this. Teach and require your children to obey you. You say, well, why? Why is this so important? Well, consider the Ten Commandments with me. You don't have to turn back there, but write them down. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 are the places that we have the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 is the first generation that received the Ten Commandments. And then after the 40 years in the wilderness, the second generation got it before they went into the Promised Land. That's Deuteronomy 5. And y'all, interestingly enough, right after God gives the Ten Commandments for the second time, in Deuteronomy 5, in chapter 6, he says, now parents, teach this to your kids. Teach it. From the time you get up to where you lay back down and everything in between, teach this to your children. So parents, you have to teach this and require this. Why? Why? Because it's God's design, it's God's command, and that's what Christians do. And too many times we get caught in some kind of culture war or some kind of parenting philosophy debate. I'm not interested in the world's philosophies or different options. I want to go back to creation, back to commands, back to God's design in his word, and let's just do what God said. Let's just do what God said. Parents, we've got to go back to the beginning. God has designed authority structures in creation, especially in the family. And when you see this authority structure and roles and responsibilities when you look at the Ten Commandments. And I want you to consider the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. And the second, the first four are our relationship with God. The last six are our relationship with one another. We've got to get those right. And if you get your relationship with God out of whack, you're not, who cares about relationship with, if I don't care about God, I don't care about you. Sometimes the only reason I care about you is because I care about God. And he puts these obligations on me. But consider the Ten Commandments. The first four. God says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Like, I'm your Savior. I'm your God. I'm your Creator. And I'm the one who came and rescued you. Now, and I didn't do that for you because you earned it somehow. I did this for you. I've brought you out of Egypt. I've made you my own. And I want to show you who I am. Here's who I am. He gives them the Ten Commandments. These are not ten rules. The Ten Commandments are a reflection of God's character. He says, because of who I am, the first four commandments is this, you shall have no other gods before me. So people say, well, you know, maybe I disagree with that. Maybe I believe there are a lot of gods. Well, you're wrong. As Shane has always so wisely said, who's wrong? You or God? Who's wrong? You or God? Do we care what God has said? God says, you shall have no other gods before me. The second one is, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. God says, I have brought you out. I have made you my own. I am your only God. And you don't get to customize the version of me that you want. I am your God. No carved images. He says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We can summarize that with not just like swear word kind of stuff, but literally acknowledge him with your lips and denying him by your lifestyle. And me and my kids were talking about this last night. I'm always intrigued by how the rich and famous hijack the name of our God and even the name of our Jesus and some of the concepts of our scriptures, and they pluck the pieces of it that like their self-improvement approach to life, and then they call themselves a Christian, but they deny and reject everything else the Bible says. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's hijacking his Bible words and giving them new definitions. We need to be careful about that. We need to be careful. If we call ourselves Christians, do we care what Christ taught? If we say we love the Lord, do we care what he thinks? Or do we just use him like a vending machine? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. If you love him, live for him. If you love him, keep his commandments, all of them. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the Sabbath day is not Sunday, it's Saturday. There's a lot to be said about that in terms of what changed between the Old Testament and New Testament when Christ came. But there's two principles here. Our true rest is in Christ and will be for all eternity with him in heaven. But something changed when the tomb was empty on the first day of the week. And rather than meeting and worshiping the Lord on the Sabbath has reached its destination in Christ, and now we gather on the first day of the week when the tomb was empty to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. There's more to say about that, but remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. These first four commandments are about our relationship with God. And then you have the next six, and they're about our relationship with our neighbor. And the first one is honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. Not your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, or his servants, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. First four, love God. Last six, love neighbor. And the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, sits right between those two, transitioning us from, okay, here's who God is. Now, if we got a right view of God, let's look at our neighbor. And the fifth commandment transitions us now to focus on our neighbors. The implication is we love God by obeying him. Here's who he is. Let's do the first four. But if we're going to do these first four, it's going to require us to do the last six as well. We love God by obeying God. And I'm telling you, there's a version of Christianity that tries to love God with no talk of obedience at all. We love God by obeying him and doing what he said. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So what that means is if you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. So, coming back up for some air. Parents, you must teach your children to obey you because that's obedience to him, and that's how you teach your children to love God. It starts with obeying and honoring you. And there's some of y'all here say, yeah, but I don't want to break their spirit. I don't want to break their spirit. We'll get to discipline in a few weeks. You say, I don't want to break their spirit. No, but you do want to break their sin. And the only time you break their spirit is when your kid can't get a win. We'll talk more about that, but you do want to break sin in their hearts. You do want to break that. Requiring them to obey you is not going to break their spirit. It's going to break their sin. If your kid can't get a win, though, that may break their spirit. And we'll talk about disciplining your children more. But today I want you to see that this is important. Why should you teach the fifth commandment or Ephesians 6, 1 through 3? Why should you teach that to your kids? And here's why. Because not obeying parents, not honoring your mother and father is sin. It is disobeying God, and it is sin. To not teach your child this is to leave them in their sin. Jesus said, all right, this is New Testament. Jesus affirms what's said in Exodus 20:12 and Exodus 21:17. Jesus said in Matthew 15:4, he says, "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." Why, parents, is it important to teach your children these things? Because it's a matter of sin. And the wages of sin is death. And sin is not the breaking of some rule. It is rebellion against God. And it is your responsibility to teach your children to obey God, to love him by keeping his commandments. But Jesus said, whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. And we don't take our kids out and kill them. We might need to spank them. We don't take our kids out and kill them. But make no mistake, the wages of sin is death. And this sin of disobeying mother and father manifests itself in so many other areas as they grow up. To fail to honor your parents is a sin, and the wages of sin is death. Sin against God, sin against you, and it'll lead to many other sins in their lives. So mom and dad, as we think about the fifth commandment, it's important because the family is the first context in which others are encountered. When you look at the structure of the Ten Commandments, the first four are about God, the last six are about neighbor. The fifth commandment is the first context in which others are encountered. One of my favorite professors at Southeastern said it this way: if a man has a rightly ordered relationship with the neighbors who make up his family, then he will be more likely to love the neighbors who are beyond his family. He says, if we do not respect authority at home, we will not respect authority anywhere. And so my version of that is, where do your kids learn manners? Where do they learn respect? Where do they learn how to treat others? Where? Where do they learn that? They ought to learn it at home, in a Christian home. And mom and dads, as we teach this and require this of our kids, it's important that we don't just demand this, but that we teach this. Remember, it's not enough to say, because I said so, or to just demand it. We have to teach it. And y'all listen to me. Sometimes the best way to teach is not to lecture on it. Sometimes the best way to teach your kids is to model it as an example in the home. I think a lot of this is caught more than it's taught, at least in lecture format. How do you teach your kids? How do you require this and teach your kids to obey and honor and respect the authority of their parents? Well, mom and dad, number one is how you care for yours. How do you treat your mom and dad? Do your kids hear you fussing about your mama all the time? They hear you fussing about your dad, putting him down all the time. They hear you get off the phone with her and go, "It's a big deal." How do you teach your kids to care about the fifth commandment? By how you treat your parents. How do you teach your kids to care about the fifth commandment? Dads, it's by how you treat their mama. How do you treat your wife? Your kids are watching. How are you going to make them respect her when you don't? Wives, how do you treat their daddy? How are you going to teach them to respect him when all you do is berate him and nag him and tear him down? How do you teach your kids this? Well, how do you talk about their mother or father when they're not around? Grandparents, that's one for you. How do you talk about their mom or dad when they're hanging out with granddaddy or granny or whatever y'all call granny and granddaddies these days? Tell those grandbabies what you think about their mom and dad in a way that will carry weight in their heart. I've told y'all before, my mom did a good job with this. She would always say things, and it was just kind of casual, just kind of as you go. She would say, "Your father is a good man. Your daddy loves me like nobody else could. Your daddy loves the Lord with all his heart, and he's leading us to do the same. She would always say, your daddy's a hard-working man. Your daddy's a strong man. Your dad's our protector. He's our provider. And she didn't say it in weird ways. It'd be like the winch on the tongue of the boat was messed up, and he'd grab it, and he'd pick it up, and he'd straighten that, and he'd sit it down. She'd say, look how strong your daddy is. And I was like, yeah, he could pick a house up. And to this day, I still think, you know, he could pick up a truck, you know. But she would always just point out, look at your dad, look at your dad, look at your dad. Even just the other day, my dad's lost some weight, and we were sitting at the ball game. She said, you know, your dad is one. And she danced around it. She said, well, I don't mean stubborn. I said driven. She said, yeah, he is one driven man. And she's just pointing out his work ethic, even to this day. She would always say, I love your daddy. I love your daddy. But y'all, too many families do the opposite. They tear their spouse down in front of their kids. We'll teach our kids, and we can require them to obey the fifth command by modeling it. How you treat your parents, how you treat one another as husband and wife, but you can also teach this by how you treat your children. My parents did love the Lord, and one of the ways I know that is because of how they loved me. They cared about me enough to tell me when I was wrong, to tear my tail up when I was out of line. They did it because they loved me. There was never a question in my mind if it was like out of anger or selfishness. They cared about how I turned out. They cared about the decisions I made. They wanted me to care what God thinks, and they were willing to correct me and discipline me when I got out of bounds. As long as you live under this house, son, we're going to honor the Lord. If you want to do your own thing, you can move out when you get ready. But as long as you're in this house, we're going to do what God's word says. It's the best thing I ever heard. That was not hateful. That was loving and protective for me. I needed it. You can teach them by how you treat your children. You can teach this by how you serve and care to one another. What's the culture like in your home, moms and dads? You can teach your kids the sweetness of the fifth commandment by how you share, how you take time to listen to one another. Get out of the way, son, I'm watching TV. How you share, how you listen, how you obey, how to be nice, how you put others before yourself, how to forgive when you do mess up and you are out of line and you snapped or popped or did something you shouldn't do. Do you own that? Do you protect that sweetness and safety of the home? Or you just retreat to your room and hide in silence and don't say anything when you get home. You can teach the sweetness of this by how you spend time together, sharing, listening, putting others before yourself. As Romans 12 says, outdoing one another in showing honor, just in every way you can find. You can teach the fifth commandment to your kids, not by lecturing them to death, and not by beating them within an inch of their life. You can teach it most effectively by how you build a culture of honor and honoring one another in your home. So mom and dad, I want you to evaluate that. Another way, especially as we grow older, we model this, the importance of the fifth commandment, obeying and honoring your father and mother by how we take care of our aging parents. I think this speaks volumes. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own household, speaking of widows in particular, when your dad passes on and your mom is left, if you don't take care of her, it says, if anyone does not provide for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know what Paul is saying there? The fifth commandment is important. To ignore the fifth commandment and leave your mother neglected is unacceptable for a child of God. And aging parents, listen, don't feel like a burden. Don't feel down about your children taking care of you. It's pleasing to the Lord. Remember, honor your father and mother. This is pleasing to the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:4 says, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show holiness and godliness at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. So don't feel down when your kids do for you and see about you and take care of you. Don't feel down. Feel proud. Feel proud of them. They're obeying 1 Timothy 5:4. Look at your sons. Look at your daughters. Obeying the Lord. I have no greater joy than this, right? Than to see my children walking with the Lord. Let them take care of you. It's a sweet thing. And then there are other opportunities, mom and dad, we don't have time to get into, but this principle of honoring father and mother extends to all areas of human relationships. 1 Peter 2:13 says, submit to every human authority because of the Lord. And that applies to relationships between God and believer, state and citizen, master and slave, pastor and layperson, teacher and student, husband and wife, and parent and child. It starts at home. This is where we learn these things. So I've talked to the teenagers. I want you to see that. I've talked to moms and dads. I want you to see that. And the third thing, quickly but beautifully, I want you to see Jesus. Some of y'all are sitting in here and you feel failure in this. As a mom, as a dad, as a child, you feel all fall short of the glory of God, right? You feel that. I want you to see Jesus. Jesus fulfilled this commandment and all of them. But Jesus fulfilled this commandment on our behalf. One guy said, from the cradle to the cross, Jesus was an obedient son who brought honor to his earthly parents and his heavenly father. From the cradle to the cross, Jesus did it right on our behalf. He obeyed his parents. Luke 2:51. It says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Because he had gone missing. She said, behold, your father and I have been searching for you and in great distress. And he said to them, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them. So he went with them. And they came to Nazareth. And he was submissive to them. You hear that? He was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus obeyed his parents. He also arranged the care for his mother. John 19:26 through 27 says this. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to that disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. Basically, Jesus said, John, take care of mama. He arranged care for her. He showed concern for his mother. He was honoring her on the cross. He also obeyed his father, his heavenly father, even at the cost of his life. Luke 22:42, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Y'all, what I want you to see in this third thing is Jesus is not just an example for us, but he is our substitute. He didn't just come to one up us and be like, hey, you couldn't keep this? I could. No. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, took on flesh, became one of us, and then walked every step of our lives in our place without sin, as we should have. He was sinless on our behalf. And then his sinless self went and died on the cross, and all of our sins were nailed to the cross. He kept the fifth commandment, and every area that we have failed in the fifth commandment, that was nailed to the cross when he died for us. For those of you who maybe had a bad relationship with your mother or your father, or maybe you're a mom or a dad and you are a terrible mother and father, I want you to understand this. Your failure of the fifth commandment was satisfied in Jesus, who kept it perfectly for you. When he died on the cross, he took your failure on himself. He took that sin. It was nailed to him. The punishment you deserve for breaking this commandment, he took on himself. And Jesus bore the wrath of God for your failure. He took the punishment for your sin in your place on the cross, so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All have fallen short. But Jesus fulfilled this commandment on our behalf. And so he's not only an example for us, he's our substitute. He has offered perfect obedience to the fifth commandment in our place. And so what this means is we can turn from our sin, we can make an adjustment today. We can turn from our sin and turn to him by faith, and receive him for the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And then from there, from that forgiven state, not because we're good enough, but because Jesus was good enough, turning from sin, placing our faith in him, from that forgiveness that we find in Jesus, from there we can begin to say, all right, now I want to honor my father and mother and teach my kids to do the same. From there, resting in his finished work on our behalf, we can begin to work to honor authority. And it starts with mama and daddy. The reason I show you this third and last point is because you cannot, teenagers, you cannot obey your parents apart from Christ. And parents, you cannot teach or model this apart from Christ. If we're going to obey it, if we're going to teach it, if we're going to model it, first, we have to be born again and forgiven of our sins. It starts with recognizing Jesus was the perfect, obedient son in our place. And by faith, we can be forgiven and then start following him and honoring our parents. I want y'all to think on these things, and we'll talk on it more next week when we look at fatherhood. Let's pray.